Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
Cross, that's exactly what Jesus did and said. He said, I love you, I'm committed to you. He said, I've gone to this cross because of my chesed love for you. He says, I'm committed to you. I'm committed to humanity. But it wasn't just for the disciples, the followers of Christ at that time. Even 2,000 years later, Jesus is still saying to us, to humanity, I'm committed to you. I love you. I am committed to you. I'm there for you. And when he hears us cry out, when he hears and sees our tears, when he sees us on our knees crying out to him, he says, I am there for you. He says, I'm committed. I'll come into your situation. I'll come into your circumstances, because it's not just a love that says, I love you today and then tomorrow it forgets about you. It's a love that loves you and is committed. Committed love. He says, I will give you new life. I'll save you, heal you, set you free. I don't know. Is anyone glad that Jesus said that? Is anyone glad that Jesus says that today? I will give you a new destiny. And so today, we need to get this into our soul, into our spirit. The chesed love wasn't just for 2,000 years ago on the cross. His chesed love was for all of eternity. All of eternity. We are going to spend eternity in the love of Christ. And so his chesed love is calling you to him this morning. And if you don't know Jesus, I just want to give you an opportunity at the end of my message to meet him. But I am so, so grateful that Jesus loves and is committed to me. I know who I am. I know what I'm like. I thank God that he is committed to being with me and helping me through my life. You know, as part of this Is Love series, we've been reading from the story of Ruth in the Old Testament. It's between Judges and 1 Samuel. It's only like 4 chapters, very easy to skip over. And if you haven't been here for our previous messages, I'm not going to go into them in too much detail today, so I suggest you go back and listen to them on our podcast so you can get up to speed. But suffice to say, there are parallels between the story of Ruth and the story of our lives. Parallels between her story and our story. And it may not seem like it, but hopefully, you know, we're like, well I'm not a Middle Eastern woman and I haven't gone to Moab. But there is parallels, and hopefully today, as we bring the series to close this week and next week, you'll start to see the connection of how we connect with Ruth's story. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, hand up who has their Bible. Awesome. Great to see. Bring your Bibles to church. If you don't, that's all right. It's going to be behind me on the screen. We're going to turn to Ruth chapter 3, and we've got verses 1 to 11. A bit of reading up front, so bear with me today as I read this out. It says this, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, talking about Ruth, my daughter, should I not seek rest for you that it may go well with you? Is not Boaz our relative? This is this guy with whose young women you were. See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash therefore and anoint yourself and put on your cloak and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies, then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do. And she replied, all that you say I will do. So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. Yeah, I'd be startled too. He said, who are you? And she answered, I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are my redeemer. You are a redeemer. And he said, may you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, and that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, and for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. Man, if you read this passage of scripture, you're like, what is going on here? Like, what is Ruth doing? Let me quickly summarize this in today's vernacular. Ruth has gone and gotten all dressed up. She's got her expensive perfume, sprayed that perfume on, I can't think of any perfumes, but it's all good. She's gotten all dolled up. She looks amazing. $1 million. She looks like all you women here today. Amazing. Okay, amazing. And she's gone out, and she's hiding behind a bush spying on Boaz. And then she's running over to this column and spying over here. And she's got her iPhone out, and she's filming him. And Boaz doesn't realize this. He's being watched. It's a bit like men. Any guys here, we know what that's like, yeah. Yeah, women, our wives spying on us, stuff like that. Not content to leave it there, not content to just dress up nicely and spy on this guy, Ruth does something a little bit even more over the top. She goes to a whole nother level. She waits till Boaz falls asleep, then she goes to where he's lying and she uncovers the bed and she sleeps at the end of his bed at his feet. Like, I don't know about you guys, but this is weird. Like, this is, they make movies about this, like women, crazy women chasing after guys. This is creepy. And you know, if I woke up one night and at the end of my bed, some woman was sleeping there, I would think two things. One, who is this woman and what the heck is she doing at the end of my bed? And then two, where is Gabby and how dead am I when she comes in and sees this happening? Because I am dead, 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 dead. You know, it seems a bit scandalous. It seems a bit like, what is going on? Like, I don't understand this. It seems a bit forward, a bit bold what Ruth is doing. And there's a whole lot more going on here than we realize. There's a whole lot more. And I'm going to start to unpack it for us today, and hopefully we can explain it. The key verse and idea from this passage is verse 9, where Ruth says, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." Ruth says to Boaz, "Spread your wings over me. Spread your wings over me." You know, maybe today in the language that we would use, she's saying, cover me. She's saying, "Boaz, will you cover me? Will you cover me?" Have you ever been in a situation where you need someone to cover you? Someone to cover you. Someone to cover for you. Maybe you've been rostered on at work. If anyone can remember back in the days where maybe, well, you might be still doing it now, but you were rostered on, you had certain hours of the week, you had to be at the office, and you had something else that you wanted to be at, so you asked someone, "Hey, I'm rostered on at this time, this date, but can you do it instead? Can you cover me because I've got to go somewhere?" Has anyone ever done that? Yep, can you cover me? Or maybe think back, and for some of us, this is only a couple of years ago. For some of us, this is a long, long time ago. But think back when you were a kid or a teenager, and mum and dad asked you to do something, and you hadn't done it, but you said you had done it, and then you hit your brother and your sister, and you said, "Say I did it, say I did it." And they said, "Yeah, okay, I'll cover for you. Tell mum I did it, cover for me." Our family, there's five of us, my wife Gabby, my daughter Joelle, my son Ethan, and then Roman. We usually travel together as a family. Isn't that nice? That's kind of like nice, isn't it? Travel together as a family. But sometimes, for whatever reason, when we're in our cars, we have to go somewhere in separate cars, and then we have to leave somewhere in separate cars. So what will happen is, when we do that, we'll usually split the kids up. Like, I will take Ethan, or I'll take Joelle, and then Gabby will take the others. Usually Gabby takes Roman, because he's only two, and he needs more work. But when that happens is we'll split the kids up and then we'll drive home. And on the way home, there's a McDonald's store. And as we get closer to it, this is on Miliara Road, if you know it, in Avondale Heights. As we get closer to it, the kids start to cough and they start to sputter. Exactly what I was just doing then. They start to stutter and they do things like, 60 cent. Sausage. 60 cent cone. They do all these kind of things. And so most of the time I ignore them. And I don't like going to McDonald's anyway because I eat healthy. I'm a healthy guy. I'm on the health life, yo. And but every now and again, I'm a good dad. So I like to spoil my kids with 60 cent cones, man. I go all out. And so every now and again, we'll pull over. We'll drive through the drive-thru, we'll get the 60-cent cones, and then I have a little conversation with them, and it goes a little bit like this. I say, "Now listen, guys, don't tell mum, okay? Don't tell mum, all right? If you cover me, I'll cover you. If you cover me, I'll cover you." And even worse than that, a lot of times I'll say, "Now Ethan, don't tell mum, don't tell Joelle. Don't tell your sibling, okay? Don't tell Ethan, because we don't want them to know." So we'll get the wrappers and we'll like just hide them in the bin when we get home. And so cover me and I'll cover you. Cover me, I'll cover you. I don't know if you do something like that. The extreme of cover me is cover up. cover up. You know, we cover me, but then there's the extreme of cover up. You know, cover up sort of like speaks about lies and secrets and scandals. And, you know, we've seen so much in the news over the recent years about different cover-ups of people and institutions and corporations that have been engaged in all types of wrong activities and all types of things that should not have occurred, terrible acts and deeds and events. And we use the phrase cover-up generally to refer to a bad thing. Yeah, you hear on the news, there's a cover-up. You think, oh, something bad's going on there. Oh, there's a cover-up. You think, man, what has happened here? And it's usually when someone selfishly tries to cover up the wrongs that they've done, the terrible actions, the double life, the lies, the hurt that they've caused to someone. And cover-ups are an injustice and they're a deception. They're not right. We know this. Cover-ups are wrong. It is wrong to do wrong and then try to hide it and cover up your actions. And there's nothing new about cover-ups, though. You know, we seem to think maybe it's a recent phenomenon, but cover-ups have existed since the very beginning. And if you know your Bible, you probably can think about what I'm talking about. If you look in Genesis 3 in the Garden of Eden, verse 7, it says this, talking about Adam and Eve, then the eyes of both of them were opened and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Adam and Eve disobeyed God and they eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The one thing that God said they could not do, they decide that they want to do it and they do it. And in that very moment, disobedience allows sin to enter the world and what we call it the fall of man. After doing this, they realize something. They are uncovered. They realize they are uncovered. And so they try to cover up. They try to cover up their sin. They try to cover up their nakedness. And they use leaves to try to cover it, not realizing that only sin can cover. Sorry, only blood can cover sin. Only blood can pay the price for sin. And in verse 21, I think it is, we see that God has to sacrifice, has to kill an animal. Blood has to be shed to create garments to cover Adam and Eve. Cover-ups are nothing new. They've been happening since the start of time. But there's another type of cover-up. And it's one that we don't really think about. It's one that we don't really talk about. Like, I hardly think that you would ever say this. But it's not about covering crimes or harms to others, but it is about covering up the wrong in one's life. And it's a different type of cover-up, and it goes back to what Ruth was just saying. It goes back to being a covering. It's not a cover-up, it's a covering. And this is what God does for us in Romans 4, verse 7 and 8. He says, "Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are what? Covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them." In covering our sins, this is what the Bible says God does in Malachi 3:19, Micah. He says, "He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea." And then in Hebrews 8, verse 12, "For I will be merciful," this is God, "toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." See, there is a covering that God places over the sin in our lives. There is a covering that He places. And it's not a blanket of leaves. It's not a blanket of it's not a covering of animal skins. It's the blood of Jesus. That's the covering that Jesus, that God gives, the blood of Jesus. And if you think about a situation where the snow comes, I mean, I know we don't get a lot of snow here in Melbourne, but if you think about in America or Canada or Alaska, the snow comes, what does it do? It covers everything. It covers everything, houses, cars, they're all covered. And that's the same type of picture of the blood of Jesus Christ. It covers all of our sins. It just goes over all of our sins. And so hanging on the cross, Jesus says to us, "I've got you." He says, "I will cover you." He says, I will cover up the sin in your lives. And it's not, he's not saying I'm going to hide it and we won't deal with it. But he's saying that in a good way, I will cover it so that when my Father looks at you, he doesn't see the sin. He doesn't see the disobedience. He doesn't see the wrongs. He sees the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus covering us. He sees that blood fully over our lives. And in that moment when God looks at us, he sees not our righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He sees not our goodness. He sees the goodness of Jesus. And Jesus says, my life becomes your life. My life becomes yours because of the covering. And he says, let me be your covering. Maybe today you're here and you didn't know that that's what Jesus was about. You didn't know that that was Jesus and what he did on the cross. You never realized that's the significance of the cross and Easter. And right now, something's speaking to your heart. Right now, something's speaking to your heart. Maybe you did know, but right now, something's speaking to your heart. And that's the Holy Spirit. And he's telling you, you need to know more about Jesus. And it's not a matter of how much time you've been in the church or never been to the church. It's about your relationship with Jesus and how much you listen to the Holy Spirit's voice. And he wants to guide you and he wants to lead you. And you may not know him, but you need to know him. Today in this place, you need to know him. Every one of us needs to know him. It's not a matter of whether we were brought up in a Christian family or not. It's about what's your relationship with Christ. Not your parents, not your grandparents, not your kids. What's your relationship with Jesus Christ? The thing with Ruth is that for all of what I just said, Boaz wasn't actually doing that. He wasn't actually covering a wrong in her life. There wasn't actually sin in her life. Instead, it was something different. Instead, the covering that Boaz is offering, that Ruth is asking for, is something very, very special. She's actually asking for marriage via redeeming. She's asking Boaz, would you marry me via redeeming me? The kids could come. And she says, how do we know this? Because Ruth says, spread your wings over your servant, for you are a what? A redeemer. You are a redeemer. And what's going on here? What does she mean by redeemer? Maybe you've never heard that word before, or maybe you have, but you don't know what it means. It's this. A redeemer, this is very deep, is someone who redeems. Wow. A redeemer is someone who redeems. But let me put this into context. To redeem means to buy back, regain possession of. To buy back, not to buy, to buy back. To regain possession of. That's a redeemer. Typically, a redeemer could only redeem something that used to be in the possession of their family. Do we get that? They could only redeem something typically that used to be a part of his or his family. Then they had to prove that they had the right to make the redemption. They had to prove it. I can prove that I have the right to redeem this thing. So just keep that in the back of your mind as we continue on. Ruth 3, verse 12, and this is Boaz's response. And now it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning. As we know from last week in the passage of scripture we looked at, it actually said that Boaz was a relative of Elimelech. And Elimelech was Ruth's father-in-law. He was the father of Ruth's husband. And according to the traditions and laws of the time, when a woman's husband died, it was upon the nearest male relative to marry her. To redeem her, to bring this woman back into the family. And so this provides proof, one, that Boaz is in a position to redeem Ruth. He can't redeem her if he does not have that history or that proof that she was once part of the family. And so by redeeming the woman, she is brought back, she is regained back into the possession of the dead husband's family. By paying the redemption price, the redeemer redeems her. Here's the thing we need to understand. A person who needs to be redeemed cannot do anything to get themselves redeemed. someone who needs to be redeemed. There is nothing they can do to get themselves to be redeemed. Instead, they need the Redeemer to get involved. They need the Redeemer to look upon them. They need the Redeemer to take interest, to show mercy, to pay the redemption price, to buy them back. They need the Redeemer to redeem them. If the Redeemer doesn't show up, nothing changes. Life stays the same. Ruth is still by herself. Ruth is still out in the fields picking up the leftovers. Nothing changes. And here's the amazing thing, and I'm sure some of you can see the rich symbolism here, the imagery that is going on here. Boaz is a picture of Jesus, and Ruth is a picture of us. Boaz is a picture of Jesus, and Ruth is a picture of us. See, do you understand? We were outside of the community of God. We were outside. We were no longer part of the family. We had no protector. We had no provider. We had no family. It didn't matter what we did. We could not make our way back into God's family. No matter how good a life we lived, no matter how much serving we did at church, no matter how many people we fed, we could not make ourselves back to God. But thank God we had a Redeemer. A Redeemer. And not only that, not only did God want to redeem us, He had the right to redeem us. He had the right. Why did He have the right? Because He created us. He made us. We were His. We were His possession. And even though we were far from Him, and even though we may not have wanted anything to do with Him, God had the desire and the right to redeem us. And that is exactly what He did through His Son, Jesus Christ. Isaiah 44:22, I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us to redeem us, to redeem us. Jesus is our Redeemer, and He has brought us back into possession of His family. And Jesus doesn't just cover the sin in our lives. Jesus just doesn't pay off our debts. He doesn't come up one day and say, hey, Mark, I've paid off your debts. He doesn't rock up one day and say, hey, Carol, I've paid off your sins. And then he wanders off into the sunset and we never see him again. He's not a cowboy that wanders off into the sunset. Jesus says, I've paid your sin. I've paid the price. I've paid off the debts. And I want to know you. I want to walk with you. I want to invite you into my family. I want to be in your life. He says, I've paid your sin. I've covered all of that, but I also want to redeem you back into my family. I also want to redeem you back into relationship with me and God the Father. And I just can't believe what an amazing God we serve. What an amazing God that we have. And when we were redeemed, we are now part of God's family. We're given a new identity. We're given a new purpose. We're given a new authority. We've given us a new name. And we live under the covering of Jesus Christ. We live in the authority of God. We live in that new identity that we have. Today, if you close your eyes this morning, Jesus, today we thank you in this place for your covering. We thank you that you cover our sins, that you paid the price. We thank you, Lord, for your redemption of us. Today in this place, maybe there's someone, and you're here today, and you're here this morning, and you need to stop trying to cover yourself, and you need to bow at the feet of Jesus at the cross. Realize there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can say. You need the covering of Jesus Christ to cover your sins. You need to say to the great I am, you need to say, Jesus, spread your wings over me. Jesus, would you spread your wings? I need your covering for the sins in my life. And you're here today and you need to start saying, I need a redeemer. I need a redeemer. I need to be redeemed. I need someone to pay the redemption price. Jesus, be my redeemer. Today, someone may need to say that. Jesus, be my redeemer. I don't care how long you've been coming to church, till you're on your knees and say to Jesus, be my redeemer. Jesus, I need you to be my redeemer. I need you to rescue me, to save me, to free me, to return me to your presence. Ruth cried out to Boaz to be a covering and a redeemer. And today in this place, there may be some person that needs to do the same thing, to cry out and say, Jesus, I need you to cover the sin in my life. Jesus, I need you to redeem me, to bring me into the family of God. And you might be here this morning, you might be wondering, Bronson, how do I do that? How do I do that? It's very easy. You just say a very, very simple prayer. Jesus, I give you my life. It's a simple prayer. It's not complicated. Jesus, I give you my life. And when you say those words, those five words, something amazing will happen. The covering of Christ will come upon your life. The redemption price will be paid and you will be redeemed into the kingdom of God. And from this day forward, you will know what it is like to live under the protection, the provision, and in community with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. It starts with a simple prayer. Jesus, I give you my life. If you're here this morning and you want to say that prayer, would you say this morning, Jesus, I give you my life. Jesus, I give you my life. On the cross, Jesus gave his life for you. And all he asks is that you would give your life to him. Jesus, I give you my life. Lord God, this morning I pray that if there is any person here right now at this moment that is saying, Jesus, I give you my life. Jesus, I give you my life. I pray if there's any person, man or woman, God, right now hearing this or even maybe, Lord, later on during the week or in the months ahead, if someone listens to this podcast, I just pray, Jesus, right now, come into their life. Holy Spirit, indwell them. Lord Jesus, I just pray that they would know, that they would know that something significant has happened in their life, that they would feel your presence around their life right now and into their week as they go out. They would feel a change, the supernatural power of Jesus coming into their life, God. So we thank you for that, Jesus. In your mighty name, we thank you this morning. You know, today, if you made that decision for the first time, there's three things that we want you to do. You can do either one of these. Tell someone. Let us know. Let us know that you received Jesus this morning. And you can do that by going to the next step area. That's the second thing. Go to the next step area. We'd love to talk to you, give you a Bible, help you understand what the decision is that you've made. And then the third thing is come back to church next week.